You're listening to the Purple Project Podcast. The Purple Project Podcast is on. Going behind the scenes of Kansas State athletics, from the action on the gridiron to the octagon of doom, and much more. Plus making rounds about the happenings in the community. Triple P is loud and proud and ready to take charge in the Big 12 Conference. Podcasting to the Little Apple, Kansas City, and the world. It's the Purple Project Podcast. And now, here's your host, Eddie Greer III.
Wildcat Nation, what's going on? This is another edition of the Purple Project Podcast Weekly Edition, episode 85. Yes, folks, 85 of the Purple Project Podcast, all about what's going on in the latest around K-State Athletics, the K-State University here, where I live at, Manhattan, Kansas, K-State University. Eddie Greer, for host of the Purple Project Podcast. I bring on my co-host in just a moment, the Purple Project Podcast. If you've been following along lately, welcome back. If you're new to the podcast, appreciate you for hopping on. Obviously, just told you what this podcast is about. One more time, we do try to cover all things K-State, and of course, the Purple Project Podcast. Find it wherever you get your podcast, folks. We're on Google, Apple, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Player FM, Amazon, and a couple more outlets out there. Wherever you listen to your podcast, add the Purple Project Podcast, especially if you're a K-State fan or a student or even alumni, as well as you're truly a K-State alumni alongside, of course, my co-host who lives in San Diego, California, who's also a K-State alumni, none other than Alex Aiden, usually every week here on the Purple Project Podcast Weekly. Alex, what's happening out there?
Not so much, Eddie. Bring on your sixth place Kansas State Wildcats basketball, Eddie. Sixth place, Eddie. Sixth place, tied for sixth after last night's win over Oklahoma State. Got to bring on the fighting Bruce Cats. Oh my gosh. So, yes, we've got a lot to talk about with the basketball team. They got a great win yesterday. Yeah, I think we'll talk about that. They also had a great loss, or a very bad loss, actually, I should say, on Saturday. against Ole Miss. So, we have plenty to talk about there. And we're kind of at the point where you begin to kind of look at the schedule and think, okay, what does K-State need to do to actually have a chance to play postseason basketball? And I think the reason that this is a big deal is because that's really been the goal. The goal all year long has been getting this team, you know, is to make the NCAA tournament. Can this team actually do it? And if they don't, that probably means, in my opinion, Bruce is out the door. Because I don't think any way, so to speak before, no way I guess any way Gene can justify bringing him back without putting himself on the hot seat, unless Bruce makes the NCAA tournament. So, I mean, you know, you look down the schedule, and, they, you know, we're getting to the point where they got, what, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 regular season games, plus some Big 12 tournament games left. So, you know, we're coming down on the back stretch here. We're back stretch here in February. So, we'll have some stuff to get into there. I just want to say, too, I watched the Texas and Texas Tech game on Tuesday night. In Lubbock, and it was electric. That place, the United Supermarket Arena, was rocking in Lubbock, Texas. Those fans who had camped out there for three, four days for that game against Texas and Chris Beard was returning. They definitely showed up that game. And that was quite the scene there in Lubbock. And, you know, Eddie, it just kind of brought back flashbacks of old Bramlage to me, where I mentioned it before on the show, you know, you're camping out, you know, days before games, hours before games. You know, Bramlage, yeah, gosh, back in 2010 when K-State was ninth in the country, Texas was number one. You know, people in the country, people camping out for that game, you know. The KU games back in the day, people getting there really early for those games. Then Just seeing that arena, electricity it had in it, it just was nostalgic for me, Eddie, because I remember Braylon being that place with the arena that's just electric, and you just feel the electricity in there and that vibe the way you did at Texas Tech Tuesday night. So, man, it just brought back some memories, Eddie. It brought back some memories because we desperately, or maybe we, I would desperately love to have those memories back. One of the biggest bummers to me, and we've talked about it many times on here before, is just that home court advantage can be so good, and it's just gone. It's completely gone. The crowd was just awful against Oklahoma State. And there was maybe a fourth full. Oh my gosh, how far we've come. It's unreal. But either way, we got a lot to get into, and I look forward to another podcast.
Yeah, and I did not see, well, unfortunately for me, I did not see that game the other night. Yeah, I saw the pregame videos outside the arena with Chris Beard and the Texas Tech faithful student section or whatever. They were waiting on him, boy.
they don't want the bus to ready.
Yep, so that was some scene. Of course, Texas Tech welcomed Chris Beard with a loss, 77-64. Yeah, I watched highlights of that game. I didn't watch it in full, and I wish I did, because that's what we've been like clamoring for that last few episodes down this podcast. We've been on a roll on that crowd and everything else, and yeah, that not even close. Obviously, the temperatures here, not really an excuse. Last night it was like below 20 degrees. Tonight, as the recording of the podcast here in Manhattan, at least, it's 12 degrees right now. So, yeah,
I will give weather a little bit of an excuse. I'll give the weather a little bit of an excuse. It's not a big one. Not a big one. I'll give just a tiny bit of an excuse for weather. But look, Eddie. Back in the day, people would show up if it was 20 degrees on a game night, or 12 degrees on a game night.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. But K-State last night with a Nigel Pack bomb to seal the deal there against Oklahoma State there, 71-60, in another nail-biter game at Ramlage. How many times have we said that over the course of the last few weeks of this podcast? Nigel Pack, really the key of getting K-State that last possession there, tying up, I can't remember who the name of the Oklahoma State player there, but Nigel Pack, he doesn't do that. OSU gets the last crack at regulation. Like, here we go again. Can K-State execute down the stretch and everything else? And Marquise Noel, Mark, and Nigel Pack, Mark Smith, and the guys did what they needed to do to make sure that K-State did not fall once again in the final seconds of that basketball game last night. And of course, the game before that, I mean, you clamored on here they needed to beat Ole Miss. They didn't do that. 67-56 in what was a boring ass game, another boring ass loss. Excuse my language.
Very dreadful shooting game. They shot below 30%, Eddie. That's like 27 or 28%.
Yep.
It's like the worst off. It's one of the worst offensive games I've ever seen.
Yeah, probably, definitely. I don't know if it's worse than the Baylor loss prior to that.
That one's pretty bad.
Yeah. That one was terrible, also too. So yeah, I mean, part of that last week, K-State men's team 0-2, and they needed this game to somewhat keep their hopes alive for anything. So now, next for K-State men's. Obviously, they got to go on the road to try to get revenge against TCU, a 15-4 TCU team on Saturday night. TCU manhandled LSU at home during that SEC Big 12 Challenge. pretty much dominant fashion. On top of that, they really made handle them. LSU was ranked 19th last weekend.
TCU's a lot better, Eddie, than I thought that they were going to be.
Yeah, I'll give TCU credit. That's what I said on the recap,
yeah.
Which is going to come out tomorrow as part of a daily there. That's what I said. I mean, I gave TCU a lot of credit. I doubted them. I'm one of those people.
I did too. Oh, 100%. I thought they'd be the worst team. I thought they'd be the worst team in the Big 12.
No, instead, it's West Virginia, the worst team in the Big 12, and we lost to them. So, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, I don't know how that happened. I don't know how you – who would have predicted that? West Virginia Mountaineers, the worst team in the Big 12. Who would have said that?
It's so weird. That's what I was about to say. That's what's odd. West Virginia, of all the teams for West Virginia, they're – I don't know if I've ever recalled seeing them in last place settings.
No, actually, it's been a long time, especially in basketball since we've seen them back there. So, yeah, they got some issues on their own. But, and so do we have major problems on this – on our end. So we got to get TCU. We don't do that. Yeah, our chances at sniffing the bubble goes boom, goes pop for sure. Then you get welcome Baylor next week in Iowa State, hard week. And then on top of a day after that, Monday night basketball, yeah, West Virginia. So that's a quick turnaround next week. So Baylor, Iowa State Saturday, you get a day off, and then West Virginia comes into Bramlage. As well, Oklahoma State, a couple of Saturdays from, when this comes out. Saturday, then KU, you got to go to Lawrence, KU, the 22nd. Then Iowa State comes here. Texas Tech, and to kind of wrap up the schedule, the regular season, you wrap it up with Texas Tech on February 28th. That's a Monday night. And then your season finale at home. Against Oklahoma, senior night, or senior day, I should say, March 5th. So, yeah, time is winding down for K-State. Man, we talked about it off air before I hit the record button. Yeah, quickly, men's basketball, Alex, quickly, windowing down here, folks.
It is. And you know, I kind of want to, you know, we kind of saw a little bit of a high, kind of a high and a low. For K-State, we definitely saw a low when they went to Ole Miss and lost that game by 11, 67-56. That might have been K-State's worst game of the year. And the reason I say that is Ole Miss is not a very good basketball team. They're a team that, in my opinion, is not as good as K-State. Maybe I'm underestimating Ole Miss, but, I mean, they are 12-10, so, I mean, they're around the same spot as K-State. They're 3-6 in conference play. K-State's 3-6 in conference play, so it's pretty comparable. But Ole Miss was missing their leading scorer in that game, and that's a game you've got to win the draws. You get a game against a team that's comparable to you. You got to get it. You just got to get it when K-State's put themselves in a situation they have to. And then you know you heard Bruce. Bruce talking. He said you know after the KU game, he told the players, Ole Miss game, biggest game of the season. Pretty much just disregarded the Baylor game. Bruce, I don't blame you for it. Bruce. K-State, they didn't have a shot in hell against Baylor, in my opinion. So I don't blame him for being like, hey, you know what? We'll put all our eggs in the Ole Miss basket because you know we're playing the odds here. Because Bruce knew they needed to get that game. They needed to get that game against Ole Miss, and so. You know, if you're going to put all your eggs into that basket, you have got to do better than shooting. I apologize, Eddie. They actually shot 30% even from the field. They got hot at the end. I apologize. So they were in the 20s for pretty much the entire game, but they did end up 30%, 19 of 63 from the field. So there you go. They shot 36 threes, Eddie. They only made 11 of them. So they and they got out rebounded, of course. Because, you know, that's just how it goes now. They got out rebounded 43-33, so they got out rebounded by 10. Getting out rebounded by 10 on the road is not usually a very good combo for success. Not a very good ingredient for success. So, just a horrible showing by them. Tim Fitzgerald did on his daily delivery. He lost it. He lost it after the last game. he had uh, he had he had that moment. He had that epiphany moment that we've all had, I think, at times in the season. And just spent on his post-game walk and talk. It wasn't Zaylor's delivery. Post-game walk and talk. Oh, man, for 5 minutes, he was outside Bramble just ranting. And I don't blame him. It was pathetic. It was ridiculous. It was embarrassing. And just talking about where this basketball program's come, where it was, where it's come. And kind of, you know, also upset with kind of the way the Bruce was handling it, talking about, you know, oh, we're just in a little slide right now. You're not just in a little slide. You're in trouble. Like, you're in trouble, Bruce. Like, this is not good. This team is in trouble. So, I totally understood what Fitz said. I agree with everything he said. So, K-State hit a low. K-State, no doubt, Eddie, hit a low on Saturday. They bounced back, though, to their credit, Eddie. They bounced back. Got a really good win last night. Really good win against Oklahoma State. A game they had, well, that was a game they absolutely had to have. I mean, if they didn't beat Oklahoma State, forget it. I mean, what's the point of, there would be no point in us even talking about it right now because, I mean, this season, just be in the toilet. They had to have that game, and they got it. So, kudos to them. Nigel Pack, 22 points, hits the game-winning three-pointer. And K-State actually kind of has to claw back their late. Now, how many times this year, Eddie, have we seen K-State find a way to lose the game late?
Too much.
A bunch. That's been their mantra. Well, guess what? They actually found a way to win a game late. That was new. That was new. That was a new thing. So, that was encouraging to see. It was encouraging to see K-State, and really a game that was back and forth all game long, to see K-State be able to grind that out and get the win. I think that was an encouraging sign. So, you know, good for the Cats. You know, good for them coming out and doing what they did. They still lost the rebounding margin against Oklahoma State, but it was closer. It was closer in the game. And, you know, they shot the ball okay. You know, they shot 45% from the field, 39% from three, 80% from the line. So they shot the ball. They shot the ball better. They only committed 9 fouls in the game. They did a little better. They committed over 20 fouls against Ole Miss. So, you know, they made some progress. They definitely played a better game against Oklahoma State. Was it the prettiest game? No, it wasn't the prettiest game. But did they play better? Yes. Did they get a Big 12 win? Yes. So, kudos to them. And kudos to Nigel. Nigel Pack's a stud. Kansas State, like, the dude is a stud. He's got an amazing shot. He just shoots lights out. You know, cannot say enough about him, enough about his game. He's averaging 17 points a game now. And, you know, got to give him credit. Got to give Mark Smith credit, too. I think he had 19 in that game. It's Oklahoma
State.
Mark Smith had 19.
He had one
of his big games. And so, you know, Mark Smith, he's averaging 11.4 a game. Marquise Noel, he's averaging 11.8 a game. Like, those two guys have... They've done their jobs. And Mark Smith's averaging over eight rebounds a game. He's leading the Big 12. Oh, it's ironic because I think he's leading the Big 12 in rebounding. And K-State has got to be the worst rebounding team in the Big 12. It's just ironic. But Mark Smith is having a nice season. But to now look ahead at what's coming up. You mentioned TCU. You know, 15-4, 4-3 in the Big 12. I didn't see that. I think anyone who said they did is lying. But look, you gave them a game. You gave them a game that you were winning by 4 with 30 seconds left in Bramlage. You've got to find a way to go to Fort Worth and get away. You got to find a way to do it. Period. Point blank in the story. You put yourself in that position. We were talking, as you mentioned, Eddie, before. How many games does K-State need to win to be on the bubble, to be able to get in the tournament? Just five. Is five wins enough? Getting them at 8-10 in Big 12 play and getting them to 16 wins overall, which would put them at, what, 16-15? I think, let's see, it's 16-15, 8-10 in conference play. You can go to Kansas City and get one, and maybe get it to 17 if you're being generous. I mean, is that enough? I don't know. I'm not sure. Maybe, but I don't know. I will say this, and this is what I told you before. If they beat Ole Miss, I think they probably would be. I think it probably is enough if you beat Ole Miss. You're sitting there, you got 17 wins, you got a chance to get maybe to 18, hell, 19 if you have a really good weekend in Kansas City. But maybe you got a chance to get to 18, and you've got another road win against an SEC team on your resume. You're close to 500 into a play. I mean, I can see where that might be enough to get you in. But with that Ole Miss loss, I think it changes things. That's really going to be, I think, an eyesore on K-State's, on their resume. I really do. I think that that's going to be something that they're going to be fighting all year, the rest of the year. It's going to be that Ole Miss game. That's going to be that. It's going to be like that Texas A&M game that we looked back on, whatever year it was, when Barry, Dean, Cam, they went down to A&M when A&M was awful, and they just played just one of the worst basketball games I've ever seen, and just played like the worst egg in the world. That game looked awful on their resume that year. This game is going to be that game for K-State. Ole Miss is, gosh, in the net, they're like below 100 or below 200. I don't know, but it's really low. They were much lower than K-State in the net. So I think that's going to hurt K-State. But, I mean, if you pull up the net rankings right now, which I am doing, K-State currently falls in at 75. They're currently at 75 in the net. So 68 make it. That would put K-State 7 out of that 68 spot. Now, obviously, it's not going to be the top 68 that would get in, because you've got automatic bids and things like that, which could shrink the bubble just depending on how many automatic bids get in. But that's kind of where K-State's sitting. So they were sitting at, before the KU game, they were sitting at about 65, so they dropped about 10 spots. So they're going to have to make up a little bit of ground. And for context, West Virginia, who is last in the Big 12, they're sitting 64 right now. So they're 11 ahead of K-State. So even though they're lower in the standings, they're in last place in the Big 12, they're firmly on the bubble right now, and K-State's not. And that's because they've got their knock-on wins, they've got a better overall record. And if you're K-State, you're kind of fighting against teams like West Virginia, and West Virginia beat K-State. So when you look at that, K-State's going to have to win, I think, at least 5 games to have a chance, and they're going to have to get some, they're going to have to get some big wins, Eddie. I mean, yes, they're going to have to go beat, in my opinion, West Virginia. Go beat them. They're going to have to beat them when they come to Brantley. You're going to have to win that game. You know, you're going to have to beat Oklahoma when they come to Brantley. You have to find a way to win that game. You know, you're going to TCU. You got to win that game. I mean, those are like 3 games right there, Eddie, that K-State's got to find a way to win. So if you can get those 3 games, now you kind of look through the schedule a little bit. You got Baylor at home. Okay, maybe that's a game. Can you pull an upset off Baylor? Baylor's looked a little shaky at times this season. I don't know. That's the type of thing K-State's going to need, though, Eddie. I think that they're going to need that marquee win. They've got that one against Texas Tech. They got that earlier in the year. They're going to need one more. And looking through their schedule, I don't expect them to go to KU and get it. And
question, yeah, that's the question. Yeah, question. It. Yep. Where are you
going to
get it?
They're not going to Lubbock to get it, and they're not going to Lawrence to get it. So that really leaves that Baylor game as kind of the one game. Now, maybe Iowa State, maybe on the road to Iowa State, if Iowa State gets hot and they get back to the top 15, maybe that could be the game. Or Iowa State at home, if Iowa State cracks the top 15 before they come to Bramlage. Because Iowa State does come to Bramlage late February, so you never know. That could be a possibility for them, too. But that's what K-State's going to need. They're going to need to get those 3 wins that I mentioned. They're going to have to try to get one against Iowa State, I think. Would really help if they could go to Oklahoma State and get that game too, and then see if they can snag another one. So, you've got 8 games left in the schedule, Eddie. You're going to have to go at least 5-3, if not 6-2. And I'll tell you what, they're not going better than 6-2 because they're not winning in Lawrence and Lubbock. They're not winning in those 2 spots. So, the road. This has been a very long-winded answer, so I apologize, people, but the road for K-State is pretty narrow. but there is a road, which is why Eddie and I are on here saying TCU is a must win. Oklahoma State was a must win. Because if you one or two more of those losses, Eddie, and there's no more road. The road's gone. I mean, there's no more path for them. So there is still a path, but it's a pretty narrow long path. It's a pretty narrow path, and it got even more narrow with that loss to Ole Miss because it bumped them in the net, and now they're down to 75. And so yeah, they're not that far off. They're not that far off. They're maybe 10 spots off of being the bubble. Not that far off, but when you look at that schedule, they're going to have to win. I mean, you can't get that many more losses. At that point, it's like, how much confidence do you have in K-State to be able to go 5-3 or 6-2 down the stretch? Kind of hard to see that at the moment. But you never know. You never know. Maybe that game winner against Oklahoma State gets them going. They can go to TCU. They can get a win there. And I've said this from the get-go. I thought I was never fully bought in on Iowa State. I know that they were ranked in the top 10 coming into the year, but I was like, I'm not sure. I don't know if I'm fully bought in. I'm just not sure. And they're 3-6. They're 3-6 in conference play. So it's kind of what I figured. So I think K-State can snag one against them, but still, yes, that's not an easy chore. That's still a team that's sitting at number 20 right now. So the good news is there's plenty of opportunities for them to get wins, but the problem is they need to win. And we're playing that many good teams. It's not easy to win. So they've got their work cut out for them, but it'll be interesting. They need to get TC. If they don't get it, then they're really beginning to get in a sticky situation.
You're listening to the Purple Project Podcast.
K-State met last night, 50, Nigel Pack, game 1-3 with 2 seconds left to seal K-State's third win in the Big 12, 71-68. Eddie Greer, I would say, for the Purple Project Podcast, episode 85. Is underway, well underway now. Iowa State, I said the same thing about Iowa State early on before the season started. Yeah, so K-State's win brings them tied for a four-way tie for sixth place in the Big 12 with Oklahoma, Iowa State, who's ranked 20th, as you just mentioned, Oklahoma State, and then Oklahoma State, so K-State, Oklahoma State, Iowa State, Oklahoma, 3-6 in the Big 12. And then last but not least, West Virginia sitting there at 2-6, but have a 13-8 overall record. So, yeah, they won all their non-con games. So, if you look at the overall records, the only team that's under 500, Oklahoma State, handed to that loss last night. Thanks, K-State. For that, so there you go. So four-way tie for sixth, and you got TCU coming up this weekend. Yeah, you have to win. You have to win this game to keep all hopes alive. Otherwise, yeah, it's the road is going to be even longer than what it is anyway. So yep, K-State's going to have their hands full, but they know they can beat this TCU team. They played very well at home in the first matchup. And they gave one away, that what we talked about in that episode a couple weeks ago. There, if I back that up a little bit here, as I go switch my tab, they lost 60-57, a game that they had in pretty much in the bag with less than 90 seconds to go. Then we all know what happened then. So yeah, you gotta go try to get revenge there, that's for sure. You have to bring your A game because TCU, as stated before, hit the record button, made handle 19th ranked LSU last weekend during the SEC Big 12 Challenge. So yeah, K-State, Bruce Weber, you're gonna have to find a way to get a win there. Yeah, man, the worst, the best case scenario, Alex. Yeah, I agree with you. Yeah, 6-2. Yeah, you're not gonna get KU. You're not gonna get Lubbock. You're not gonna get that unless somehow.
Miracle.
Texas Tech stumbles on their own foot. So
do a miracle.
Yeah, you mean Baylor at home? I'm still not sure, but yeah, you got to get one of these games that we're not expected to. Just like a couple weeks ago, we weren't didn't think we'd get Texas Tech. We got them, and then we went on the road to Austin, got that one against Chris Beard, got that one. So yeah, you're gonna have to pull one of those weeks where you have to go 2-0. You got to go 2-0 one of those weeks. Got to do something out of the ordinary to keep your hopes alive there. So. I mean, but first up, you got to take it one game at a time. And Saturday against TCU, you got to stack some wins. I mean, not just one game, one off. I mean, it seems like what I said 0-2 last week, Baylor, Ole Miss there. You go 1-1 the week before that. Then you go 1-1 the week before that with TCU, Texas Tech. Then you go 0-2. I know I'm rewinding back K-State season so far. So you have not put together, other than that Texas Tech, Texas stretch there, you have not put together back-to-back wins in a couple weeks. You got to string together wins. I know people are trying, people that are close to K-State tweeting out that we're back in the Big 12. You know, hey, we got to string together a winning streak or something. I mean, I will believe that. When we went 3 in a row or 4 in a row, something like that. More than 2 games in a row. How about that? How about we win, get a 3-game winning streak together or something like that? So I don't agree with, I ain't gonna call people out that I saw, that I read last night after the game was over. I'm not gonna do that. At least not this week anyway. But yeah. But yeah, you gotta put together something. So it's one game, one win, one loss. Just not gonna cut it. Definitely not gonna cut it. You're gonna make any type of run. So you gotta put together some type of streak. And this would probably be the good time to do it. TCU, you gotta go on the road, get that. Maybe an inconsistent Baylor team, possibly a little bit of light at the end of the tunnel. Maybe we'll see.
I mean, and that seems, Eddie, looking at their schedule, that seems like their best opportunity to me to steal one that legit you're not supposed to get. You know, they win, they sleepwalked in Waco. There's no doubt about that. They played awful. Baylor beat them like a drum. Do I expect KC to be Baylor? No, I don't. I don't expect it to be Baylor. But that would be the game where it's like, okay, you know, Baylor's been a little shaky. They lost to this Oklahoma State team at home. They've lost a couple home games. They are, in fact, gosh, I mean, I know they're sitting at 19-3, but those three losses have been kind of shaky. They just lost to Alabama, who's an unranked team, on the road in the SEC Big 12 Challenge. Granted, Alabama is a team that has beaten some big boys this year. There's no doubt about that. But Baylor, I mean, Baylor's, they've had their shaky moments. You know, they have had those shaky moments. I mean, looking, they just beat West Virginia by 4 at home. Who's currently last place in the Big 12. So, and, you know, that's just, they're actually playing in Lawrence the game before Manhattan. So, you know, you never know. Maybe it'll be kind of a hangover game for them, so to speak, after an emotional game in Lawrence. But, you know, so I mean, I think it sets up to where K-State could have an opportunity, but it's still going to be a tall task for them. And I want to loop back to this, Eddie, and people are going to be like, oh my gosh, is Alex really talking about this again? Yes, I am talking about this again. This is why we made a big deal when K-State lost by 1 to Marquette. This is why we came on here and said K-State missed an opportunity when they couldn't get a win in Kansas City. They lost 2 games there by 8. These games... This is when you could really use it. This is when you really could use that Marquette game, Eddie, because Marquette's ranked in the top 25 now. And, oh my gosh, like how frustrating is that? You look at Marquette, they're 16-7. They're ranked 24th in the country. They've gotten as high as number 22. They're cruising. They're rolling. They're playing well. I think that they're sitting 8-4 in their conference play, and it's like, man. If you could have added another top 25 win to K-State's resume right now, we could be having a totally different conversation. We could be having a totally different conversation, especially if K-State gets hot and they do end up on the bubble. Just, that's a killer, Eddie. That's a complete killer. dropping that game and losing a non-con game to, or losing the game that you had initially scheduled for Morgan State and then North Florida, would those games have gone very far? No, they would have been quad four games. It's not like that they were games that carried a ton of weight. But it's still, you're to the point in your schedule where, like, you need wins anywhere you can get them. And it's like, gosh, if you could have just changed two wins, instead of being 11-10 right now, you're sitting there at 13-8. You're sitting there at 13-9. They'd be 13-9 right now instead of 11-10. But we can have a totally different story. Totally different story. And so that's why those games like the one against Marquette, when we came on here after and said, oh my gosh, what a missed opportunity. This is why that was such a missed opportunity. We said it. K-State needs to, it's also why we said they need to beat Ole Miss, Eddie. That's why we said they got to beat Ole Miss. Especially when they lost to Marquette, we're like, they've got to beat Ole Miss. They've got to beat Ole Miss. Like, immediately we said it at that point. Because we looked at the Big 12 schedule and said, there are not a ton of wins for K-State to get there. There just aren't. They're not going to finish above 500 in Big 12 play. It's not going to happen. It's too good. The Big 12 is too good. That's why these non-con schedule is so important and why they've got to rack up as many wins as they can. Well, they didn't rack up quite as many as they needed, and they're doing about what we expected in Big 12 play, 3-6. That sounds about right. If someone would have told me that early in the season, they'll be 3-6 at this point, I would have said, yeah, that's probably about right. That's why they needed to do better in the non-con, and while they weren't horrible in the non-con, they were not good enough in the non-con. They dropped, they let games slip like that one against Marquette, and now is when you're really feeling it because you'd have some more wiggle room right now. You'd have a little more wiggle room to kind of be able to get on that bubble, and instead you've got a narrow path, and you know, you're walking a tightrope to try to get back into that conversation. And I mean, just once again, just quickly dabble it back into the into the net rankings. Marquette's 25th in net rankings. You can get a team like that. I mean, that's practically having a quad one win to K-State schedule. K-State's 2-8 in quad one games this year. I know it sounds annoying, but just that is a, that hurts, Eddie. That hurts. So you know, that's why it's important, and you know, it's important to take advantage of it. Look, they're going to get opportunities though. TCU, I think they're 40th in the net. So I mean, you got a chance to add another quad one, quad two win. Oklahoma's 41st. That's a game you think you could potentially get that could fall into a quad one, quad two box as well. So, I mean, there's definitely some opportunities there. And Iowa State still is a 28, so that's still going to be a really good one too. So, I mean, there's some winnable games, but gosh, dropping Marquette, man, not snagging one in Kansas City, losing that last non-con game because of COVID. Those are the little things, Eddie. Those are the little things that hurt. And then when you can't go to Ole Miss and get a win in a game like that, that you need that. Those things, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
They have put K-State in the corner because they did not take care of business in non-con. That is why you've got to take care of business in non-con. And I think it's what's going to end up biting them in the you-know-what. The fact that they just did not do enough in their non-conference.
Yeah. Yeah. So, all comes around. We have to move on from men's basketball, but yeah. So, we'll see what happens, definitely. Obviously, the Daily will cover it. TCU, Saturday night, big game again for K-State. Yeah, those non-con game, those losses, those can really come back, bite you, and you know what. So, yeah, we pretty much well set, Alex. Well set. We'll just have to leave it like that. Speaking of loss on the road, K-State men, the women have something to come with the men. They keep losing on the road. They have lost now going back to Texas Tech January 15th, which, by the way, that is their opponent for Saturday night, while the men are in Fort Worth. The women welcome in Texas Tech. So this started January 15th, Texas Tech, where Texas Tech is one of the worst teams in this conference, talking about the women's side now. Then you lose to Texas. You don't score over 50 then. You didn't score over 50 against Texas Tech January 15th, and you did score 50 against Iowa State, but you don't show up to the ballpark. You don't show up to the arena. So that's three losses, Alex, on the road for the K-State ladies team, and you lose 70-55 in that game. Abe Lee, if my memory is correct, did not go double figures in did not score double-double in this ball game. Briley Glenn had a big game. Half her cup points came late in the fourth quarter, though, and a little bit of garbage time there. So this was a chance for the ladies, for Coach Jeff Mini Squad, to somewhat make a dent in trying to get within at least one of Iowa State, Oklahoma. They did not do that in this game. Iowa State, total opposite of what we saw at Brain Lunch a few weeks ago. Iowa State just dominated from the tip. There in K-State, ladies, once again, on the road, had no chance. So this is not good. This trend's in the way it is. This is not good. Yes, we're still 25th in the country. We were talking about this team being a possible, what, fourth seed last week on the weekly edition of the Purple Project Podcast. So after this game, if we can, we need to get this Texas Tech game. Because Texas Tech, I think sitting dead last, if my memory is staying correctly here. The bad news for K-State, ladies, you got to go on the road, take on Baylor, which you disposed of, upset early on the year in Kansas, which KU took K-State to the limit, down to the wire about a week or two ago there. So right now, your omen is not playing well on the road. You have those two games coming. I don't want to look too far ahead, but since we went over the men's schedule, might as well just go over the women's schedule real quick. Okay, so Texas Tech on deck. You got to get this game because, again, you got to beat teams that you're supposed to beat. You're a top 25 team, so you got to take care of business. Then, already mentioned, Baylor, KU. That might be the kryptonite for this women's team, not playing well on the road unless they can turn it around. Then February 20th, Oklahoma State in the Play for KAP game. I did one of those games while I was in I remember that game very well. It was actually my first game with the Wildcat 919 station, I believe. I do remember that game. It was the same thing. Play for K has been a big part of women's basketball for quite some time now. That should be a good game. Texas at home February 23rd, and then you finish 2 out of 3 on the road. Oklahoma on the road February 26th, was that's a Saturday, and then the season finale, you got to go to Fort Worth, the TCU, to close things out before their Big 12 tournament, and then sandwiched in between senior night against West Virginia. So Alex, right now K-State ladies team has lost 3 straight. They're still in, no, don't get me wrong, they're still in position to finish if they can continue to at least here. Let's see, Baylor, if they can sweep Baylor, that'll be big. Big right there. They can handle KU, that's also big as well. Maybe possibly get that Oklahoma, circle that Oklahoma game there. What's Oklahoma going to do with Ayuka Lee after being put after Ayuka put on 61? Yep. And then so yeah, man, it pretty much sets up. Yeah, Texas, you struggle on the road against them, so you get them at home in a few weeks. So the forecast is a little brighter for K-State ladies still than the men's side, but these road rules. These kind of going back to last year a little bit with this team, struggling on the road, Jekyll and Hyde when it comes on the road, and lately it's not been fun on the road.
No, not been fun on the road at all. And you know, once again, it's kind of a tale of two halves for K-State this week, this past week, because, you know, they're home against TCU last Saturday, a team that, is sitting at 2-7 in Big 12 play right now, 6-12 overall. So, team that K-State should beat. That was a close game.
That was close. I watched that game. Yep.
Didn't you think? I actually watched a nice little chunk of that game. K-State did not play very well. They're definitely playing at TCU's pace, but they they did find a way to when the game got tight, they found a way to pull away at the end, and they did it without Ayo Kalee. Ayo Kalee didn't even score in the fourth quarter, so they did it without her, which I thought was impressive. And then when Jeff Nagy was talking after the game, he said, "You know, I just told him that I couldn't be more proud of him because we did not play well tonight at all, and we found a way to win this game, and we also found a way to win this game, breaking away without Ayo Kalee." And so I thought that while they didn't play well against TCU, I thought there were a lot of positives in the fact that they were able to find a way to win a game when they weren't playing well. And they found a way to do it when Ayo Kalee wasn't doing anything. So that was definitely, in my mind, encouraging. But then you turn around and do what they did against Iowa State, which I'll be honest, not a study. That's about what I expected. I thought that they'd go to Ames and lose by double figures. I just didn't think that they'd have a chance to get that one, because they once again, you mentioned the proof's in the pudding. You look at K-State's pudding, it's not very pretty on the road, Eddie. It's not very pretty on the road. You lose by 18 to Texas on the road. You know, you lose by 19 to Tech on the road. You know, you look at it. I mean, yes, they beat Oklahoma State on the road. They beat West Virginia on the road. Those are two good. Well, Oklahoma State's 1-9 in Big 12 play, so I don't know how much weight you put in that one. But you look at West Virginia, though. They beat West Virginia by 10 on the road. West Virginia is 11-8 overall, so they're not a horrible team or anything like that. So I mean, that was a good one. But yeah, I just didn't expect them to go to Ames and get a win. I didn't. I thought they'd lose by double figures, and they did. So you know what? It is what it is. I thought your chance at them was at home. You let it slip away. It is, you know, move on. You mentioned it. You got to beat Tech. You know, Tech is coming in. You lost them by 19 on the road. Oh my gosh. Tech's 2-7 in Big 12 play. 2-7. You need to beat them at home. And if you're not motivated to beat them at home after losing by 19 on the road to them, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to say to you, because that was embarrassing. That was plain embarrassing for him. So, you know, I think they'll play a lot better. I think they'll play a lot better at home. I think they'll find a way to beat Texas Tech. But it's a game that they need to get. Part of the reason they need to get that game out is because you look at their next two. You go on the road against Baylor, and you go on the road against KU. You know, Baylor, they're ranked 9th in the country, sitting there 15-5, and then KU is sitting at 14-5. So they're not ranked, but they're having a good season. And let's not forget that game against KU in Manhattan came down to the wire.
Yep.
So that's going to be a tough game. So if you drop a game to Texas Tech, a game you should win, you could be kind of hitting yourself in the corner, kind of like the men's team a little bit, where now you got to go on the road against two good teams, and you got to try to find a way to get one of those wins. If you don't, all of a sudden you're looking at a situation where you may have lost, golly, 5 to 6 games, and it's like, oh my gosh, what happened? And yeah, you don't want to deal with that. So just beat Texas Tech at home, Eddie, and then go see if you can pull an upset in Waco, and take it from there. Looking at the schedule, Eddie, you're right. They're gonna have to get some games. I don't think that they'll win at Waco. I don't think that they'll. I don't know. Maybe. Part of me wants to say I don't think they'll go win at Oklahoma, but they beat them by 30. Like, they beat them by 30, and Ayo Kalee scored 61 points. Like, I can't just be like, oh, they won't win at Oklahoma. Like, I don't know. Maybe they will win at Oklahoma. Maybe they will, because they beat the living snot out of them in Manhattan. But I think that the game that I look at and I see on the schedule is Texas. You got Texas at home on February 23rd. Texas ranks 13th in the country right now. You lost by 18 in Austin. That could be a game. That could be a big one for K-State. You look at Texas, they're sitting right now at 5-3 in conference play. K-State's sitting at 6-4 in conference play. You know, if you can get that win over them, that could be a big one. So I think that's one for them. Ending the season, I think that, you know, they've got TCU to end the season. That's a game that I think they should win. They got West Virginia at home the game before. I think that's a game that they should win. So I think that the ending, I think they can get hot there at the end, but the middle is tricky. It's just going to be tricky there kind of in that mid-February to end of February window, where they're going to have to win some games in a row. You know, we mentioned about the men's team. We said, you know, they're just going to have to win. They're just going to have to win some games. Well, this one team, they need to win some games on the road. And if they can beat, if they can, you know, rack up some wins, it doesn't even need to be against top 25 teams necessarily. But if you can beat Tech and then split between Baylor and KU, you can come home. You can beat Oklahoma State in the game that you should win. And then you split with Texas and OU. Like, and that's fine. That's fine. That will do the job. That will do the job. Then you come home and you beat West Virginia, and then you go to TCU and you win. There you go. I think that works. So, look, they don't need to just, you know, go crazy. But if they need to win the games they're supposed to win, and then they need to, you know, just take care of some business on the road. Don't need to win them all, but they need to win some on the road. So they're still sitting in a good spot. They're not going to be winning the Big 12. I know we talked about that a little bit. They're two games out, but now they're sitting in fifth place. I don't think they can wiggle their way back in. That's fine. No problem. Just worry about tournament. Just worry about tournament. Worry about your positioning. Put yourself in the best position possible. And look, you know, you never know. If this K-State team can get hot in Kansas City, they can win a Big 12 tournament. I do believe that. I do think that. So, just take care of business and try to put yourself in the best position for the NCAA tournament. And, see if you can go on a run. See if you can go on a run in Kansas City and maybe win it all there. I mean, you're going to have the best player on the court. You know, you're going to have the best player on the court every time you take the court. I think that's something that you've got to continue to remind yourself through the K-State women's team. You know, most nights, no one's going to have a player better than you on the court. So that should give them some confidence right there. And also, Eddie, look, their supporting cast is beginning to play better. I think that's another thing, too. They didn't play great against Iowa State in that particular game. But look, I mean, you know, Glenn has 19 points. I was the leading scorer. Ayoko Lee actually was not the leading scorer for once. They're beginning to get some contributions from some other players on a more consistent basis. So I think that's a silver lining, and hopefully that can lead to something for them moving forward, because that's what they'll need. That's what they'll need to get where they want to go. They're going to need to continue to get more consistent production around Ayoko Lee, so it's not just the Ayoko Lee show, because that's not gonna work to get where they want to go. But I definitely think the Serena cast is better. I think they're continuing to play better. Now let's just see if they can get some road wins. But it's gonna start with beating Tech. You've got to get that win at Tech. If you got to get that win at home against Tech. If you lose that game, that could be tough. That could kind of put them in a tricky situation. So hopefully they come out and they play well and do what they need to do on Saturday.
Yep, that is right. So, see what happens there on Saturday at home, men on the road this weekend. Women actually kick off at 6. They tip off at just a little bit after 6:30, and then men will after a half hour or so down in Fort Worth will be taking center stage down there at 7:00. So these games will be going on simultaneously, so we'll see what happens. We're going to step aside for just a few seconds.
You're listening to the Purple Project Podcast.
The Purple Project Podcast hits the top of the hour at the beginning of this podcast. Episode 85 of PPPW edition of the podcast. It is 11 Central Time. That's where you find me. Any career in Manhattan, Kansas, Alex out there. Different time, San Diego, California. Prior to hitting the record button on episode 85, did have a chance to sit and watch the majority of the East-West Shrine Bowl. You missed out on Daily earlier. Talked about two Wildcat, former K-Staters now, playing this game. One of them, Rush Yeast, had an appearance out there for a little bit, and Skylar Thompson played well in his little appearance, throwing a touchdown pass in his little... And actually, I think he was in there for three offensive drives there. So he threw a touchdown pass and then ended up connecting on a two-point conversion to one of his former quote-unquote opponents, Baylor's Tyquan Thornton, for a two-point conversion there. So Skylar, he continued to throw the ball well. Just like he did against LSU in Houston, he did that tonight in Vegas, so he continues to throw the football very well. So he's got a little bit of momentum there. So as he prepares to try to make more name of himself here in front of NFL scouts, and he took another step forward in this game tonight. So I don't know. You were watching the Winter Olympics.
Oh, I was watching a little bit. Oh, I was dabbling. I'm getting into the spirit, Eddie.
Yeah,
but I will say this: I saw Skylar's touchdown strike, and I saw the celebration, and I saw Russ East his nice play that he had where he what was it on the he had a real nice tackle on third and goal there that prevented a score. So you know, he obviously made the nice play there near the goal line. Skylar makes the makes a really nice nice pass over in the corner. Corner of the end zone to I can't remember the wide receiver's name. I believe he went to Virginia Tech, I think, or maybe Virginia. Maybe it was Virginia. But either way, it was a really nice throw. It was a nice play. And so just to see them, Eddie. Gosh, you know, we didn't even talk since Skylar got the invite, right? We haven't even talked since he got the invite to the Shrine Bowl. By the way, I keep getting them mixed up. So, what, you got the Shrine Bowl in Vegas right now, then you got the Senior Bowl down in Mobile, Alabama right now. So I keep mixing the two up. But
That's right. Yeah, Senior Bowl going on.
They're all blurring together. So I hear people like, why for Mobile the Senior Bowl over in Vegas and the Shrine Bowl? I'm like, wait, what? Who's where? Okay. But anyway, because they're all happening at the same time. But look, you know, we have talked since you got the invite. It was great for Skylar to get the invite to the Shrine Bowl, to go out there to show his talents off. We talked about this. We did talk about how hard Skylar worked and how much he, when he announced that he was going to, you know, pursue a dream in the NFL, how hard he's worked and how he really deserved this opportunity. So to see him be able to, you know, have the success in the Shrine Bowl, that's awesome to see. Super cool to see. And I think that it's bringing to light the way that Skylar has been playing, kind of, you know, what maybe some people didn't notice about him. You know, he wasn't always the flashiest quarterback on the field, and he wasn't always the guy that had us just clamoring. It was like, oh my gosh, did you see what Skylar did? Oh my gosh, did you see Skylar with that sidearm throw? Oh my goodness, that was so sick. Like, no, it's not. We didn't necessarily do that, but Skylar is such a good quarterback at the fundamentals and being able to command an offense and the leadership he brings and the intangibles he brings. And he has characteristics and some football traits that really can translate to the NFL. And I just don't think a lot of people realize that. So I think it's kind of taken us a little by surprise that Skylar's kind of having that type of success that he is right now. And hopefully he continues to have that success. But really cool to see him take advantage of the opportunity. I don't know if he'll get an invite to the combine or not. That might be a stretch. I don't know. I would doubt it, but I don't know. He'll have a pro day, though. He'll have his chance there. You know, maybe he finds big at the combine. If he doesn't, though, he'll have his pro day. Hopefully he can excel there and get in. And we've talked about this before, Eddie. It's not a very deep quarterback draft. It's pretty thin. So there's an opportunity. He's going to get get picked up. I said this a couple weeks ago. He's going to get picked up. I don't think there's any question about that. I think the question is whether or not he can get drafted in those later rounds. I think that's more of what kind of the question is. How cool would it be for him to have that moment to be able to get drafted with his friends and family? And, you know, he's going to have to do some hard work, obviously, between now and the draft to get to that point, but he's off to a good start. And then just quickly, Russ East, you know, he's a guy that, you know, we didn't see as much time, as much his time in Kansas, Manhattan as we did Skyler. But look, you know, he obviously had a really good year for K-State this last season. He made some really big plays for us, real crucial plays. You know, he's a good tackler. You know, he's typically good in coverage. He's typically in the right spot at the right time. So, you know, there's a lot that he has to offer to the table, too. So to see him, you know, doing in the Shrine Bowl what he did at K-State is cool to see. And so, once again, same thing with him. Hopefully he can continue kind of through this process to be able to kind of show off his talent, show off what he's shown to us over the course of this last season. And we'll see what translates. He can end up on an NFL roster.
Yeah, so we'll see definitely how it goes, their journeys to being on an NFL team with Rush East and Skylar Thompson. So still, we still got a lot of offseason left and still a lot of time until obviously the NFL come by. Yes, Skylar will have his pro day. He'll reach out to pro day along with some of the other K-Staters that are moving on, trying to get there and make their names known to the NFL. Before I hit up signing day to close out the podcast here, the rest of the weekend for K-State Athletics, obviously tennis is canceled for the week. For the weekend, they're supposed to host Arkansas. That is not going to happen. The track and field team will be going to Lincoln for the Frank Savage Husker Invitational starting tomorrow afternoon at 4 local time. Two-day event there. So we've cased the track teams, had some individuals that have done pretty well so far this season, and they look to continue that success tomorrow, and then of course Saturday again for day two of that Husker Invitational in Lincoln, Nebraska, starting at all events starting just after 11 Central Time there. We already covered basketball well tonight on this edition of the Purple Project Podcast Weekly, Texas Tech game here at Ramlage. The K-State women's team kicks off a jam-packed Saturday night, and then, of course, 30 minutes later on ESPNU will be K-State men in fourth quarter taking on TCU, looking to get their revenge from blowing a 5-point lead late in the first meeting of that as well. So that's kind of the weekend in K-State Athletics, mainly focused on track and field. Tennis was supposed to host Arkansas. That has been postponed. More details come up on that on the weekend dailies this weekend on that. Yeah, I literally after work kind of saw that, and so I have to read what's going on there on that. So tennis not playing this weekend, so they'll be getting ready for their next opponent there as well. Also, something big as we begin to close out another episode of the Purple Project Podcast Weekly Edition. Eddie Greer, Alex out there living in San Diego, California. National Signing Day Part 2. Yeah, K-State ended up signing 4 more players. So I'll just list them off right here. must be your phone. Adrian Lara, quarterback from Goodyear, Arizona. Jacob Parrish from Olathe, Kansas. Tyson Struber from Galva, Kansas. And then their last signee, well, maybe not in that order, but Vi Uso-Sumalo, defensive tackle from... That was from Manala, Hawaii, and he came from Garden City Community College. all the way out there. Lonely Garden City Community College. Yeah, 6'4", 305. And we know that defensive line is going to be pretty stout. At least on paper. This upcoming fall there as well. So I did hear a little bit of the game yesterday. The radio station here in town, 93.3, that is K-Man 1350. The radio station here in town that talks about K-State sports as well. Yeah, I heard the guys talk about the defensive tackle as well, and then of course the quarterback position as well. Adrian Martinez, I believe, spoke to the media today as well. I did not have a chance to catch that, to be honest. I'm gonna have to go back and listen to that as well. So Adrian did speak with the K-State folks here. I'm very intrigued. I'm very excited to hear what he had to say as well. So Adrian Martinez, obviously, we covered on the Pro Project Podcast Weekly. He is here. And then also, I believe if I read this, there's also two transfers as well from the transfer portal. Joshua Hayes coming from Virginia. And then he did start with Chris Kleiman at North Dakota State. He reunites with Chris Kleiman. So that's good. That's good on the, for don't knows, but I believe he's on the defensive end, I think. And then, of course, Brandon Jennings, linebacker, started his college career at Maryland. Decided to come transfer here. So he has 3 years of eligibility left. And we know
he's a huge get. He was like a five-star recruit.
Yep, that's a huge get. You already stout at linebacker with the return of Daniel Green. So that pair right there is going to be fearful for the Big 12 opponents there. Sean Robinson already covered this. We both covered this on the weekly and daily editions of Pro Project Podcast. You have missed that. You might go back and check that out. Sean Robinson, obviously, recap of him coming from Missouri. You know, by the way, K-State, one more time, K-State Nation plays Missouri this year. So he's no stranger at all to the Big 12. He started his career at quarterback at TCU before going to Missouri. And then at Missouri, he was converted into a safety. And then he'll stay right there at safety for Joe Klainerman's defense as well. So Brandon Jennings, Sean Robinson, huge gets, Alex, on the defensive side of the ball. That's big for them. So kind of, Alex, your kind of take on a day as far as these four go. And, of course, you probably listened to the Adrian Martinez media clip there.
I listened to part of the interview with him, and I'll start there. It was interesting to hear him speak. He definitely shined kind of a lot more insight, or shined a light. I gave a lot more insight, I should say, on his decision to come to K-State. And he said it was strictly a business decision. I think he said it was strictly a business decision. For the fact that K-State, when he looked at all his options, K-State gave him the best chance to get to the NFL. He said he has a dream of playing in the NFL, and K-State gave him the best opportunity to do that and to get to that spot. And part of the reason was he talked about online. I'm implementing some more spread offense. Schemes that you may see in the NFL, which made me go, interesting. Okay. I'm here for that. If K-State's going to run a little more spread offense in 2022, see what that looks like. And, you know, it's not going to be, your I formation every play. But you know, he said that. And he said that, you know, part of what made K-State the best place for him to achieve that goal was the fact that had a great coaching staff, it was a great university with good people and, really a good locker room, a lot of great things about K-State kind of to him, made him realize it was the best spot for him, and to kind of help him get to the next chapter in his career. So that's kind of what brought him to K-State, and, you know, talking about what he wants to work on. No surprise, the biggest thing is to cut down the turnovers. You know, he doesn't, you know, he thinks he turned the ball over too much when he was in Lincoln with Cornhuskers, and, you know, he thinks that he needs to find a way to cut down on that. And he said, you know, at the end of the day, you know, ball is ball. You know, you gotta go out and play. And he said, you know, just gotta get in the film room. And, you know, starts with getting in the film room, looking, seeing what you did wrong, what you need to improve, and then putting in the work after the time in the film room. So, you know, he seems pretty motivated to cut down on the turnovers that he had. And he also thinks he and Deuce Vaughn could potentially be a lethal 1-2 duo. He, you know, there for K-State. You know, I don't think he used the word lethal, but he used a word similar to lethal. I'll go ahead and use the word lethal, because I think it could be lethal, depending on, you know, what type of Adrian Martinez we get, which that's a question in and of itself, which I'm sure we'll have that discussion before the football season begins. What Adrian Martinez we will get. But look, I think it's his job. You know, I know we talked about the quarterback battle, and I think there will be a quarterback battle, but I think it's his job. I think it's his job to lose. I don't think he'll lose it. He seems to, Coach Klimas, he's kind of on the same trajectory that Skylar was on this time last year, so, you know, yeah, he won't be able to do everything in spring ball, but he won't be able to throw yet, but I still think there's some things he'll be able to do. He'll be able to take be a part of, and then by the time, you know, summer rolls around and it's time for, you know, for fall practices, I think he'll be good to go by then. So, so he's on the right trajectory. You know, still, you know, with that shoulder injury, I think there's some things to be encouraged about there. But look, I think the million-dollar question, Eddie, is what Adrian Martinez are you going to get? Because he's such a wild card. But I've also said this before. I equated it to the Portland Trailblazers. You know, your small market team like Portland, you know, sometimes you've got to take a risk. Heck, we could use the Milwaukee Bucks. That might be a better example. Small market team, you take a risk on a guy like Giannis. You know, real raw. You don't know what you're getting. Complete wild card. Turns out being great. You win an NBA title. That's the only way that Milwaukee wins big, because you're not going to land the free agents. You're not going to land the big names. Same thing with K-State. You're not going to land the 5 stars. You're not going to land the 4 stars. You got to take some risks if you want to have some success and kind of have those rewards at a school like K-State. So, look, that's what they're doing with Adrian Martinez. Could they swing and miss and whiff? Sure, they could do that. And could it blow up in their face? Sure, it could. But when you're a school like K-State, is it worth the risk? It is, because that's the only way you're going to get that type of reward, most likely, at a school like K-State. So there's obviously some risk in making, you know, taking that move. But I think when we saw the quarterback play that K-State got last year outside of Skylar Thompson, I think that made us all realize it's worth the risk to go ahead and you know, make the move. And look, he did a lot of good things in Nebraska, too. Let's not act like he did. Talking to the other guys, though, you mentioned the transfers. We talked about them. K-State's landed some real good guys in the transfer portal. They haven't landed a ton. They haven't done a ton of work in the transfer portal, but the guys that they've gotten have been guys that are needed, guys that I think will be really good fits for K-State, and that support. You know, they also added, as you mentioned, the four signees, I guess you could say. So they signed 13 at the initial signing day in December, and then they signed 4 now, which puts them at, 17 signed now in those two. So, and look, they're going to keep looking. You know, that doesn't mean that it's over. Coach Klieman talked a lot about, you know, the fact that they still have some areas that they want to hit. You know, they need another running back. They need another receiver if possible. They may need another linebacker. They may need another corner. You know, there are still some areas that they would like to add some more bodies to. But, you know, those are things that will happen in due time. And it could happen from the transfer portal. It could happen from JUCO. I think that was one thing Coach Fleming talked a lot about was that there's really a lot of good players still available at JUCO because they're kind of going overlooked because the transfer portal is getting all that attention. And once things calm down in the transfer portal, then all of a sudden those JUCO guys can have an opportunity. You can have an opportunity to go in and swipe one of them. Kind of like they got Tyron Howell real late last year.
Yeah.
So maybe you go get a guy like that in JUCO. I wouldn't be surprised at all if K-State does something like that. So it's still to be determined on some certain areas kind of what they're going to do. And they are kind of pushing up against the scholarship limit a little bit. But Chris Fleming says they should have enough to do what they need to do. So fingers crossed on that side of the things. And the one thing, they did have a quarterback as one of the four that they brought in, or that they signed, I should say. And Coach Kleiman, he says he can sling it. He says he ran an offense in high school there in Colorado where he threw it all over the field. He had the freedom to be able to change route trees, to change coverage, change some cover schemes with the offensive line. He had a freedom to do a lot of things in his offense that could translate. And apparently he's just got a cannon of an arm, and he can throw it sideline to sideline, north-south. He can do it all. So will it translate? I don't know. But what did I say to you, Eddie? I said K-State needs to be going for a quarterback every single year right now. Right now. They need to be literally just going for every QB prospect they like because they have not had the best luck at hitting with quarterbacks yet. And they need to, at this point, just, if you like him, go get him. And hopefully one of them sticks and you can find your guy because, look, Adrian Martinez, that could be a good situation for this year, but what do you do after this next year? You know? I mean, look, that's just a reality situation. So, you know, maybe it is the guy that just recruited. Maybe it's Brubley instead. Maybe it's someone that's not on the roster. I don't know. But it was interesting that they had a quarterback. And I think that Chris Kleiman talked about him more than pretty much anybody. But you also mentioned the addition to the D-line, Eddie, and I think that's important because we talk about it. You never got too much depth on that D-line because the fresher that D-line is in the fourth quarter of a game, the more effective it is. And K-State loves to rotate guys. They love to rotate guys and keep them fresh. So the more D linemen that they have, the more they can do that, I think the better it is for K-State on defense. So all in all, I think it was a good day. And we're going to have a lot of football talk. But eager to see it. Eager to see what happens. And, I think that the next thing for them is they got to find a path. They got to find a running back to go behind Deuce. You know, you cannot put all the weight and burden on Deuce. And, you know, again, Chris Kleiman talked about the fact that, hey, it's hard to get a running back in here when Deuce is there. Because they're like, when the heck am I going to get touches? It's tough, but they got to go find one. And they got to go find another playmaker, in my opinion, at the receiver position and then bolster that linebacker core and secondary a little bit more. But I don't think that they're kind of in a good place, and I think they're in a position to potentially have a good year next year.
Yep, same. I can't disagree more than that. I agree with you on all of that, that's for sure. So next up for them, definitely get a running back, that's for sure. But yeah, they needed what they needed to get. And yeah, K-State so far, at least in the off-season-wise anyways, doing a nice job. So it's plenty of football talk to come here on the Purple Project Podcast off-season edition, of course. And yeah, a lot more to go. And we are in the beginning stages of February. So one long way to go until, there's almost over a month until K-State reports are spring ball. So there's going to be a lot of that going on. So, but in between now and then, recruits and then signees as well. So K-State signed four more, including getting two from the transfer portal. Episode 85 of the Purple Project Podcast. Almost a wrap, folks. Alex, any closing thoughts or anything else before we wrap this thing up?
You know, I think we touched on it for the most part there. You know, talking about signing day. Like, yeah, I encourage people, yeah, go check it out. Go see what Chris Kleiman had to say. Go see what Adrian Martinez had to say. Definitely shine some, kind of shine the light on kind of what K-State's, well, Chris Kleiman, I should say, really shine the light on kind of what K-State's thinking right now, kind of where they're at. I know there were a handful of people that were kind of curious about that. So, got a little more insight there. And then Adrian Martinez, like I said, just getting to know him and getting to know kind of, you know, what he's about, kind of his thought process, and you know, what he's looking for was definitely interesting too. So I don't want to get too far into the football weeds because we're only in early February. But I am eager. I mentioned this a few weeks ago. Spring football literally right around the corner. I mean, it's what, a month away, a month and a half away. I mean, it's What, 1 to 2 months away? I don't know if they start March or April this year. I just said it.
Yeah, I think it was starting in March. I think I came across a date.
Within March? Okay.
Yeah, March 9th or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, so if it starts in March, then gosh, you're a month and a half away. So, I mean, it's right around the corner. But, you know, with football, I mean, I just, like I said, it's really kind of going to be a wild card type of uniform. And when you look at guys like Khalid Duke coming back, paired with guys like Huggins coming back as well, and then you're going to obviously have DK Uzomah, you know, and then you throw in the, you know, Jennings there, you know, at linebacker. I mean, they could have a salty defense. I mean, they could have Joe Klanderman. Could have a nice little crew to work with there. I really think that there's potential for K-State to have one of the better defenses in the Big 12. I really think that potential's there. Like, once again, we'll see how it fills out.
We'll see how it fills out.
That's a big if, because K-State still does have some holes in that defense. But they've got potential to, in my opinion, have a top half Big 12 defense. And offensively, look, Colin Plyant running some spread offense. Huh. Interesting. I'm intrigued. I kind of want to hear more. I want to see more. So I'm going to be watching the offense when spring ball rolls around. You better believe that. See if they show into this spread offense that they're talking about. Granted, it won't be Adrian Martinez on the running it, but you know, see if we can kind of maybe glean a little bit on that. But look, I think they did get better on the offensive line. I think the running back, they'll figure it out. They'll get someone in behind Deuce. And, you know, Adrian Martinez can not turn the ball over. Look, he can sling it. We know he can sling it. He can run it. He can sling it. The only thing is to let the turnovers. He turns it over too much, so he can cut down on those. And K-State could be dangerous on offense. Look, Kate Worm, he's coming back. He's going to act as a super senior again out. And I think K-State is up to like seven super seniors coming back, I believe. So he's got a nice chunk of super seniors going into next year. So they're going to have some experience as well on the team. So I think that they could have a year where they could be looking at. Somebody asked me, I think I might recall, I can't remember if Paul came or not. Someone asked me what they thought my win window for him was, and I said anywhere from 7 to 10. Six to ten. I said anywhere from 6 to 10. I mean, if they file our house in with Adrian Martinez, if they get no QB production, I can see it going completely sideways. But if everything hits, I can see one at that game. So it's a really wide window right now, which could make for a really intriguing spring for us. But you know, we'll not put the car before the horse. You know, we have some basketball to get to. And I'll be terribly exciting at the moment, but then a little more exciting for the women. But a lot more time to talk football, but I am eager to kind of see the way that things play out. And I'll say this, Eddie, too. If we're going to give us more to talk about, we'd be talking about it right now. But, you know, the 3-6, what do I want to do?
Yeah. So you mentioned Kate Warner coming back. Yeah, I did see that. Yeah, 7 K-State super seniors. That includes Eli Huggins, defensive line, Ty Zentner, Sincere Mason, Last name Hines. I can't remember his first name. Starts with an R. Sebastian Taylor.
Is
that
right? Sebastian Taylor, because you remember he didn't play much at all.
Did not play much. He kind of forgot. He was kind of a forgotten man.
Yeah, because he had that knee. I'm curious if we'll see the Sebastian Taylor from 2 years ago. I'm intrigued that he's coming back.
Yep, the offensive lineman, Devin DeForge also is coming back. So that's seven right there. And then, of course, the rest of them are not coming back. Yeah, so I ran into that list on Twitter there. Yeah, I have to take a peek at that, get caught up. I know Ty's in there, made an announcement earlier this offseason he's coming back. So, yeah, Kane Warner is the latest to make. Yeah, he had a huge impact in the passing game this year. I'm anxious to see what he's going to do.
And he and Adrian have played. They played together before.
Yeah, they played together before, yeah.
Yep.
Interesting Nebraska connection right there. So, again.
So there'll probably be a little bit of chemistry there.
Yep, again, there could be some. There's definitely going to be some communication there. So, definitely a lot more football talk ahead of the Purple Project.
Come on.
No. yeah.
I don't want to wait. I got all big things. That's fine.
We got football's in the news. We're going to talk about it here on our Purple Project Podcast Weekly Edition. So, yeah, but for now, we'll have to wait until spring ball, and I'm sure we'll have plenty to talk about between now and the opening kickoff of the 2022 football campaign. Folks, the Purple Project Podcast Weekly Edition, episode 85. In the books, 85 episodes in the books. We are getting up there, folks. And
wow.
Yeah.
15 from 100.
Yep, 15 more, yeah. The countdown hasn't officially started just yet, but we're getting close. The getting up there in triple digits again. The numbers are starting to creep up there. It's all because of you guys, K-State Nation, for continuing to download these podcasts in weekly editions as well. Continue to spread the word about the Purple Project Podcast wherever you get your podcast, folks. I'm gonna let Alex again close us out, send us into the weekend, hopefully with some positive vibes. Another episode of 85 in the books. Eddie Greer, Alex, send us into the weekend.
Yeah, well, first off, I hope everybody stays warm and safe. I know that a winter storm is brutal in the Midwest, in the South, and everywhere except where I'm at right now. So, stay warm.
Of course.
Stay safe.
Yeah,
I'm the only one that's dodging it because I'm on the West Coast over here. I hope everybody stays safe. And, hopefully K-State goes out. They play well against TCU. The men's team, hopefully the women's team goes out and plays well against Texas Tech. And hopefully everybody has a great weekend and cheer on the Cats. And we look forward to talking to you again next week.
Podcasts are found on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Audio Boom, and more. We'll talk to you on the next edition of the Purple Project Podcast.